Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that the month of January has come and gone. Depending on when you're listening to this, either January 31st or February 1st, the whole month of January is gone. And of course, if you're listening to it on Sunday, hopefully later on today, the Patriots do well in the Super Bowl. And for my running friends, don't forget, on Super Bowl Sunday, we have the NHTI Delta Dental Super Bowl race, and that raises funds for the NHTI cross-country team coached by world-famous Tom Walton, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, Tom talked about winter wellness and how you can, in fact, work out outside during the winter as long as you're careful and wear the right clothes, etc. And the co-coach is Perry Segros, who was actually one of the original founding people behind the Capital Era Race Series. And again, for my running friends, I hope you do go online, capitaleraraceseries.com, and register for the series, which begins in March in Gilmanton. So here we are, and it's also February is a special month in my world. It is National Children's Dental Health Month, so I thought it was very appropriate to bring on another world-famous person. I'm blessed. I work with Tom Walton, world-famous fitness coach, and Dr. Shannon Mills, world-famous dental scientist. Welcome, Shannon. Thank you for once again putting up with me and joining me on a weekend. I guess Monday through Friday isn't enough for you.
No, it's not anywhere near enough, Tom.
I can't get enough of Tom Raffio. No. You're laughing and your fingers are crossed. But, okay, so we ran out of time when you were on last. We were talking about Northeast Delta Dental's 10 New Year's resolutions for better oral health. So let's start there. I mean, some of them are pretty obvious, such as, you know, flossing and so forth. Yeah. But why don't you thoroughly go through the 10 resolutions for better oral health.
Yeah, it is getting a little late in January, but it's never too late to take oral health seriously. So let's start from the top. I think the most important thing is for each of us as individuals to understand our individual oral health status, our risk for oral disease, and also to understand why it's important for our overall health. And by the way, one of the ways that we can help you do that is by going to our website. And we have, by the way, a new wellness website called Health Through OralWellness.com, spelled out THROUGH. That's Health Through OralWellness.com. And on there, we have the MyDentalScore.com self-risk assessment for oral health, and it'll let you understand how likely you might be to get tooth decay, gum disease, or even oral cancer, which we hope nobody ever has to experience. But here's one way. Once you know that, it gives you something to talk about with your dentist. And if you're one of those people that's not routinely going to the dentist, this is the first step towards really getting your oral health where it should be. But if you do go to the dentist, the next resolution is talk to your dentist, if you're over 30, about gum disease. Gum disease is not an inevitable thing, and not everybody has the same risk for it. So you need to have an understanding of how likely this is to happen to you. So understanding it and finding it early is really critical to keeping it under control and avoiding tooth loss as you begin to grow a little older. If you do have gum disease, share that information with your physician, because gum disease can influence your overall health, not just your oral health. So it can affect you if you have or are at risk for diabetes or heart disease or stroke. Having gum disease can increase your risk of worse things happening because of that.
Shannon, stop there for a second. So conceivably, I could have what might be on the surface really beautiful white teeth, but I could be ravaged with gum disease. So why don't you explain that?
Well, one of the bad things about gum disease is it's one of those diseases that, just like early diabetes, there's no pain necessarily associated with it. It can be developing really rather quietly. And sometimes you might notice a little bleeding when you brush your teeth and so forth. But what's happening is that there's an immune response going on in the area where your your teeth attach to the bone and to the gums, and it's overreacting to the bacteria that are there, and it's causing destruction. But in addition to that, it's putting inflammatory chemicals into your bloodstream, and that's why it has this impact on diabetes and potentially on heart disease, for example. And it can even affect whether a baby is born healthy or not. So it's really not a trivial thing. And knowing whether you have gum disease or not is pretty important. Again, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that almost half of Americans have some form of gum disease if they're over 30. That's a lot of folks. Now, for some people, it's not that serious. But how do you know? You don't know unless you have it checked. So that's why we're talking about how critically important that is.
So can you, as another segue, tell us the genesis of the expression long in the tooth?
Well, as people age, gum disease takes its toll, and a lot of times they lose bone support, lose gum support, and the teeth appear to get longer and longer. So nobody knows the origin of that. It's probably an ancient phrase, probably in other languages before English.
I thought you
went way back.
I thought you invented it, Shannon.
Well, it could have been Shakespeare.
It could have been, Shakespeare. That's true.
Could have been. We'd have to check.
Because after the King James Version of the Bible, Shakespeare is the second most popular literary allusion. Well, you know that,
right.
And I'm an English major, so but you're a scientist.
And I'm just a lowly Zoe major.
So there you go. So let's move on to resolution number four, which isn't particularly brilliant, but it's important.
Well,
go ahead.
We think it's important that you see a dentist at least once a year. Now, you know, traditionally we've said twice, but the reality of it is people with different levels of risk, and you've heard me talk about risk before, have different needs. So you may be one of those people who could skip a year and be healthy, or you could be one of those people that needs to be coming in to see your dentist more often, up to four times a year sometimes for some folks. The only way to know that is to be evaluated.
Exactly. So after the commercial break, we'll talk about our Health Rural Wellness or HOW program, and that'll get into that visits per year.
Thank you.
Okay, number five.
Well, okay, let's see. Not all of you have kids, but if you do, make sure they're getting evaluated for dental sealants. Again, not every kid needs them, but a lot of kids do. And what sealants do is they seal the grooves and the biting surfaces of the molar teeth. These are really important teeth, and it prevents them from developing cavities. So talk to your dentist about sealants. Find out if your kid's interested. So we know that the sealants can lower the risk of children getting cavities by as much as 80%. We also know that the school-based programs that we have here in New Hampshire have done a dramatic job of reducing the number of cavities kids are getting. Last year, they reported a 30% reduction, which is pretty amazing.
And give yourself some credit. You've been a member of the Sealant Coalition, correct?
Well, they hit one here in Concord, and I work with one in the Salem Dairy area. Yeah, and it's very rewarding getting to go out and spend some time, you know, looking at these kids. And the work is done by a really talented team of dental hygienists and assistants, but we're there to oversee and make, you know, look at the kids and check them out.
Perfect.
So a group of volunteer dentists of whom I'm one.
Thank you. That you do that in addition to a very challenging job here at Northeast Health Dental. Okay, number six. This, I think, is very important. When do you take your infant to see the dentist for the first time? Because when we were growing up, I think the answer was a different age. So let's clarify this.
Well, a lot of times they said, well, bring them in when they're ready to go to school. But we now know that a certain number of kids are going to get a thing we called early childhood caries. Now, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but no kid, you know, it happens in all economic groups and all kinds of people, and it can happen to your kid. And this is where tooth decay ravages the teeth of really young children. And so what we're saying is it's really a great idea to take your child in by age, not later than age one, but really as soon as the first teeth begin to develop. Because the kids that are going to get this problem are often going to show signs of it very early, and sometimes before you start having the bad decay problems that can occur in these kids. Sometimes a lot of the problem is diet, but it's even a little more complicated than that. But important.
Let's pause on number six for a second, and if you could cover two sort of subsections of this. Can you, in your brilliance, describe the improvement of conversations between pediatricians and dentists? That's question A. And question B, can you explain to moms and dads out there what baby bottle syndrome is?
Yeah. Well, the two things. Let's talk about the pediatricians. Today, the pediatric medicine curriculum typically includes a good deal of information and training in identifying this particular problem and tooth decay problems in kids. So more and more, the pediatricians are also becoming much more knowledgeable about it. So that's a good thing. So sometimes if you don't see a dentist, or we hope you have a dentist, but if you don't, the pediatrician is your next line, and they can certainly take a look and see if there's anything starting to happen. The second question relates to baby bottle decay. One of the problems is that, you know, sometimes we presume that even milk is not, you know, is a safe thing to give kids. But milk has sugar in it. And the other problem that can occur when you leave a bottle with any kind of carbohydrate in it in a baby's mouth, particularly when they go to sleep, well, their saliva slows down, the whatever the material is, whether it's fruit juice or milk or whatever, interacts with the bacteria, produces acid, and can cause this really destructive tooth decay in very young children. It's something that's mostly preventable simply by only putting the baby, if you're going to put the baby to bed with a bottle, only water, never anything else.
And some of this is, of course, you know, cultural, so that's why it's so important to get the education out there, hence our program. And, of course, as you also know, Dr. Mills, we have a great program called PANDA, which stands for Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness. Mm-hmm. And one of the principles of the PANDA program is to educate moms to not put the baby to bed or dad, you know, with milk in
right.
the bottle. So,
and again, pediatricians are usually knowledgeable. Your dentists are knowledgeable. But again, we're still seeing it. And kids are still right here in New Hampshire, kids are still going to the operating room at our local hospitals, way too many of them, to get really severe tooth decay taken care of.
Okay, we have about 60 seconds. Let's take resolution 7 and 8 together, and then after commercial break,
okay.
We'll take the last two, changing your toothbrush and flossing.
Yeah. So. Okay, when that toothbrush starts looking a little wild, you know, and bristles growing
like my hair,
way.
So to speak?
Or? Yeah, Tom. I wasn't going to say that, but since you brought it up.
But you were looking at it, so
yeah.
I figured you were.
When your toothbrush starts looking like Tom Raffio's hair, it's time to toss it. And get a new brush. So brushes lose their efficacy, and so it's time to get them done.
That's a big word for effectiveness.
Okay, and if you're flossing, keep it up. If you're not, start. And if you have trouble with the manual dexterity part of that, talk to your dentist or hygienist, because there's a lot of neat things out there
today.
The little tools that can help you do it. I use one.
Perfect. All right, Tom Raffio, please stay tuned after commercial break.
Some things cost an arm and a leg. But good dental coverage doesn't have to cost you a molar and an incisor. Introducing new individual and family plans from Delta Dental. With Delta Dental, you get the same dependable benefits offered by employer plans and at competitive rates. Plus, up to 100% coverage for exams, cleanings, and x-rays. Not to mention, Delta Dental gives you access to the largest dental networks in the nation. And best of all, enrolling in Delta Dental coverage is easy. You can do it online at any time at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. So smile, knowing that you're taking good care of your oral health. For more information and to review individual and family plans and rates, visit DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. That's DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. Northeast Delta Dental, the region's most experienced dental benefits company. Plans available in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Dr. Shannon Mills, the world famous Dr. Shannon Mills. And we were finishing up on the New Year's resolutions for better oral health. And we were concluding with number 8, keep or start flossing. And Dr. Mills, you mentioned a good point. I know this has helped me personally, is I'm not the greatest one with manual dexterity, at least in terms of my mouth. I do have good eye-hand coordination, but I can never kind of get the handle of the floss. So I have this, like, what I call floss on a stick, and the floss is, like, shaped in, like, a horseshoe.
Yeah.
And you put it on the end of a brush that looks like a toothbrush,
yeah.
And then it's really made my flossing you know, much more effective. So that's right. Acceptable, right?
Well, as a dentist, I'm not going to admit to not having good manual dexterity, but I actually use one of those myself because it does make it easier to do it, even though I can do the other.
Okay.
And I think I can get it done quicker. But, you know, whatever way you do it, do it.
Do it.
That's the main thing.
And then changing your toothbrush, just to emphasize that, I think I know when I talk to my running friends and when I'm at benefit fairs, people are always, and this is a good thing, if the giveaway is a toothbrush, I've noticed a trend the last few years. People are grabbing a handful now because they kind of recognize that you can never have enough toothbrushes and that most of us don't change them enough. So I know I've personally changed them very frequently.
Yeah, I think it's good. Also, it's as good a time as any to remind people that even though that hard bristle brush or medium bristle brush may feel like it's cleaning better, it probably actually doesn't. And it has the potential to do damage to your gums.
Right, and you got
to
do it.
So use a soft bristle brush.
Soft bristle brush. Do it more methodically and thoughtfully. Yeah. And just I know what your answer is going to be, but I think for educational purposes, manual versus an electric toothbrush.
Personal choice. If your dentist says you're not, your hygienist particularly is who's going to tell you this. If they say you're not getting it clean as well as you should, if you're, you know, say you do have manual dexterity problems, an electric toothbrush is probably a great idea. The studies show in my house, my wife uses electric, I use manual, and they both work. But if you think you're not getting them as clean as you should, an electric toothbrush can help you.
Perfect. Okay, the last two. So eat less sugar, and that seems obvious, but I think mm-hmm. it's important you talk about these new sports drinks and other issues,
yeah.
you know, like sugar and coffee.
Well, you know, one of the things is we say, well, okay, don't eat sugar, so I won't put sugar in my coffee and I'll cut back on sodas. But there's so much hidden sugar in the foods we eat. So reading labels still is important. It's not important just for tooth decay. It's important for our health in general. But it's hidden in a lot of really places you don't expect it. Again, sports drinks, Tom, you mentioned that. Sports drinks are an example of that. Not only are they often very highly sugar loaded, but on top of that, they also can be very acidic. So it's a combination of the acid, which softens the enamel, and then the effect of the sugars feeding the bacteria that create more longer lasting acidic exposure can make it worse. So, and even if you don't have tooth decay, we can have erosion. The same thing's true with sodas.
Yeah,
the acid in sodas, even diet sodas,
sure.
can cause erosion.
Which is why I keep saying to folks, there's nothing like water.
No, it works great.
So now the last one is another more obvious one, quit smoking if you smoke. So why don't you, you don't have to sort of jump all over it because it seems pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But why don't you just mention it?
Well, I think sometimes maybe it's not as obvious. Everybody thinks about smoking in terms of heart health and lung health and avoiding lung cancer, for example. But it's also not one of the most important contributors to the development of gum disease. So we're coming back to where we started about risk. That when you smoke, your risk of getting gum disease goes up pretty dramatically. And if you have other risk factors to start with, it's just going to get worse.
So it's a carcinogen. It smells. It yellows your teeth, contributes to gum disease. And the other thing I think you may want to point out is the fact that smoking can sometimes mask gum disease.
It can, because it causes it's ironic, but it actually, one of the signs of gum disease is bleeding gums. Well, heavy smokers, their gums don't bleed. They're so fibrous from the exposure to the smoke that you don't get the bleeding. So the disease process is going on, but one of the signs that you'd use to identify it isn't there.
Why don't you add your comment on smokeless tobacco.
Well, I'm actually from the Southwest, so I'm used to. I'm not seeing it up here like I do. It's still here. So your snuffs, your dips and chews, they don't cause lung disease, but they can contribute to heart disease, and they can also contribute to increasing your risk for oral cancer. And you know, there's been a big, big push in Major League Baseball to really emphasize how important it is, you know, trying to educate people about it.
Sure. We just lost Tony Gwynn, for example.
Yeah.
And then Curt Schilling had some serious issues.
Right.
And there's been a lot of videos where you've seen very young people lose half their face because of it.
Exactly. And so if you're just doing this, you know, it's an addiction. We understand. I'm not judgmental about how hard it is to stop, but you have to do it. You just have to do it.
Now, the in minor league baseball, by the way, just as an aside, you're not allowed to have smokeless tobacco in minor league dugouts or anywhere near the field. So at Northeast Delta yep. Dental Stadium, you will not see any minor league players
right.
with chewing tobacco. And I think over time that will be the same thing in Major League Baseball as these younger players keep
right.
growing up.
It's a really smart move, I think, and I'm really proud to see that highlights the value of our association in that regard.
Exactly.
One last thing I'm going to throw out.
Sure.
If you want to quit, and one of the first steps you can take, you have to be ready. But once you're ready, New Hampshire has a tobacco helpline. You can call them, and I'll say it slow so you can write it down if you're still smoking. 800-784-8669.
And they have a website, trytostopnh.org. That's trytostopnh, all one word, .org.
Right.
So
thanks, Tom.
There's two resources for you. Okay, let's move along to a more positive topic, which is last week's show I had the Children's Museum featured, and one of the things they're doing for the month of February at the Children's Museum is really to focus on children's dental health. And why would that be, Shannon?
Well, it just so happens, Tom, that February is and has been for as long as I can recall National Children's Dental Health Month.
And so what does that mean in terms of, does that just mean that we as a company educate the populace on this? Or what does exactly that mean? Well, and tell us about what the American Dental Association
is. Yeah, this is an American Dental Association focused activity. And it literally, as long as I've been in dentistry, which is well over 30 years.
Well, you must have started when you were 16.
I did.
Wow,
yeah.
Good for you.
I was the Doogie Howser of dentistry.
All righty, love that show.
But goes way, way back. Yeah, but you also have to be old to remember that, I suppose. But goes way, way back. And for years, this has been the month where we emphasize the importance of children's dental health and try to raise the importance of it. And because it's so important, when children develop good habits about oral health, those can often last a lifetime.
And that's why I love the partnership with the Fisher Cats, because we have the Oral Health Challenge. In fact, we just sent out the literature to all of our participating dentists and children who brush and floss in between visits. They earn tickets, and then we recognize them on the field with a tooth fairy. And mm-hmm. it actually forms great habits with them. But many parents have told me with that emphasis, that's actually helped them improve their adult oral health habits. So it's great. Now, we did a little tease before the break, which was the fact that some of us maybe we should go to the dentist 3 or 4 times a year, others once every 2 years might be enough. How does this evidence-based dentistry work with our new program called Health Through Oral Wellness?
Well, Health Through Oral Wellness is based on the understanding that people are different. People don't all have the same risk for whether it's diabetes, heart disease, or tooth decay, or gum disease. Everybody's risk is different. That means their needs are different. The treatment needs and the prevention needs individuals have may differ. So what we're doing is we're building a system around identifying, having patients become aware of their risk, working with their dentists, and if they're Delta Dental insured individuals and their employers are part of our Health Through Oral Wellness program, people who are at greater risk for tooth decay or gum disease may be eligible for benefits above the standard benefits in order to help address. Now, these are all preventive services, things like fluoride treatments, extra fluoride treatments, extra cleanings,
Speaking of that, I know I got a lot of calls on this. You had explained in a prior show that going twice a year is a good benchmark, good proxy, that really began with radio and or TV
yeah.
commercials where toothpaste companies were encouraging people to go to the dentist twice a year. So it's not really science-based, but it's a good benchmark, though.
It's interesting because it's not a bad place to start. For many people, you know, that second visit is nice to have. We certainly cover it as part of our covered benefits, and, you know, I presume we'll continue to do so. It's a nice safety net. But for many people, you know, it's not going to make a difference in their oral health. But for some people, not getting that third or fourth visit to get an extra cleaning when they have gum disease or to get fluoride treatment when they're at high risk for tooth decay can make the difference between good oral health and not so good oral health.
Okay, so now I'm a Delta Dental subscriber. My employer has told me that we have this great new program called HOW, or Health Oral Wellness. And for everybody's benefit, we actually have those two the acronym and the term service marked or protected. Mm-hmm. So I go I go on to mydentalscore.com or I go on Delta Dental's website, and I go into the dental office with that sheet and score. And what does the dentist do from there?
Well, the sheet, the self-assessment is for it, you know, for your is for your information and to you know, help you with that conversation. But the dentist can actually do a risk assessment in the office, and if again your employer has adopted the benefit package, you have registered. You can go to our healththroughoralwellness.com website and register if you are a Delta Dental subscriber or family member. If those two things happen and the scores indicate an elevated risk, then you may be eligible for some of these additional benefits. Moreover, if you're willing to give us some information about you, for example, your email address, we'll be sending you additional reminders, information, sometimes even maybe special offers on things.
Well, once again, Shannon, we've run out of time, but I love the Health World Wellness Program, and anydelta.com is our website. Reminder, my running friends, there's a race on Super Bowl morning. Dr. Mills, thank you for joining me. We'll have you back again. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental will return next weekend.